Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I'm really excited about talking about this subject because this is like one of my core life themes. And when you're on your sweet spot, you know, you golfers know today what that felt like when you, if any of you ever hit it, it was, you know, it's a good feeling. When you don't hit, I've found on a golf club, there's a lot of places that are not the sweet spot. And the whole thing jars and going through your body and thing goes off into the bush. But actually having known when you hit your sweet spot in ministry is really, really important. And to stay on that. You can get distracted off it, and you preach a message that goes twang instead of twong, and it was meant to hit a home run, but you felt like you didn't even connect with the ball. And so, and it's always important to stay on the big issues. Don't get caught away with little issues when you're preaching, especially. Don't pick fights with the angry elder over in the corner. Not that I'm pointing at any angry elders over there. But, you know, keep your message so that you're talking to everybody that's in front of you. So tonight I want to talk about this incredibly important subject called faith. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 to start with. And it's really important that we understand that it's by faith that we actually connect with the grace of God. We connect with Jesus Christ. Faith is not the end. Like the Holy Spirit is not an end in himself. Faith is not an end in itself. It's got to have a connecting point, and that point is Jesus. In C3, in my movement, I know that we have been called to carry certain things. One of them is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Spirit of God. And so I've kind of tried to protect that because it's always had a lot of weirdness with it. The moves of God in Pentecostal history. So a lot of people have just thrown the whole lot out and said, no, we don't want to have weirdness in the church. Well, I agree. I don't want weirdness either. And we make Mr. and Mrs. Weirdness sit down in the third row and not do anything during church, you know, so they don't kill everything. And we kind of maintain some order. However, I don't think we should throw out supernatural movings of the Holy Spirit and prophecies and speaking in heavenly languages, etc., because all of that is just a beautiful zone that God wants his people to live in without going a bit crazy. And so that's another thing that we've been called to carry. And this message, like a positive gospel, that people can put success and Christian in the same sentence, that you can actually do well and have a really wonderful life. We have a TV show called Your Best Life. I'm not sure if, I think we show it over here, and I've watched it for the last 2 weeks. I hate watching my own TV show, but I got so blessed. I watched it again this week, and I thought, wow, it's better than I thought it was. I haven't seen it for about 5 years, and so I'm not given to, you know, watching myself, but the guys are making me look a lot better than they used to. Amen. I need a lot of help with that. But then the message that I feel that we've been called to carry and that is very core for me is Jesus himself, is Christ. And I tell our people, hey, look, if you're wondering what we're on about, it's Christ. He's our message. And being in Christ is part of what that is all about. So that we know that in the New Testament, the entire New Testament is fulfilled through being in Christ. Everything that you could possibly hope to ever have in God is going to be discovered in Christ. And as you go all the way through the New Testament, you find that all of the scriptures, all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. It's everything. He leads us in triumph in Christ. And for some of us, it gets really damaged. And so in 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said we have the same spirit of faith. So before we get into talking about the steps of faith, that are in this book, we need to understand it's a feeling. Now, I know that we've all heard faith is not feelings, and I agree with that, that we should not follow our feelings, otherwise we'll be up and down like a roller coaster all our life. You feel good, you think God loves you. Feel bad, you think he hates you. I mean, that's you cannot follow your feelings. You've got to follow the Word of God. And you put your faith in the Word, and it's telling you things in spite of your circumstances. But as you believe the Word of God, you will appropriate an invisible reality into a physical, visible reality. That's how the transaction happens. I've got to believe it before I see it. I've got to believe I'm forgiven before I feel I'm forgiven. I got to believe I'm healed before I'm healed. I got to actually take that promised land in my spirit and have it in there before I'm actually going to discover it falls out of the supernatural into the natural. So having a spirit of confidence, of positivity, of boldness is something the Holy Spirit will give you. If you're in Christ, you cannot help but get bold. You cannot help but get confident. One of the worst tragedies in life is to watch magnificent people wandering around crippled on the inside through intimidation and timidity and fearfulness. And if you're being overwhelmed by your circumstances, then tonight I want you to get filled with the spirit of faith and start to overwhelm your circumstances and say, I'm going to beat those giants when I get back into that situation. Finance is not going to create fear in me. I'm going to create fear in my banker. Amen. I'm not going to let other people give me worry. I'm going to give the devil anxiety phobia. I'm going to give hell a shake tonight in Jesus' name, because you rule. You're in control, not the devil. And so I want to talk about the directions of faith. Number one direction is faith in God. I believe in God. I think, okay, God, you're the one that I direct my faith in. And that's pretty simple. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. Everybody say that for me. Have faith in God. You should say that to yourself like 100 times a day. Speak to your own soul. Have faith in God. Fear not. I'm with you, says the Lord. Have faith in God. One of the most powerful things you can do is pick up the sword of the Spirit. Paul says in the Ephesian letter, he says, take up the sword of the Spirit. The reason we need to take it up is because we let it drop. And the way, the place that you wear the sword of the Spirit is in your mouth. And you need to speak that double-edged sword, which will build your faith, but will also defeat the devil. And as you say things like, have faith in God, it'll create faith on the inside of you. Listen to me. It's very important that you take a proactive, intentional activity towards the creation of faith inside your soul. Otherwise, it won't happen. You do not have to do one thing to be a negative person. If I want to grow weeds in your garden, you know what I do? Nothing. They will just grow. If I want to grow weeds in your head, what do we do? Nothing. Do nothing. You'll be negative. It'll just start to happen. You'll get worried. You'll get anxious. I don't have to try to worry. When Paul says, be anxious for nothing, I say, well, I'm not even trying, Paul, and it turns up. Just goes, what worry? Washes across you, and you get all, your knees turn to water, and you think, oh, how are we going to handle that? What you've got to do is refuse it when it turns up. Say, I'm not going to worry about that. It tries to hijack your thinking, confuse your mind, make you spin around on the inside, create doubtfulness on the inside of you. What are you going to do? You got to pull out the sword of the Spirit and fight the devil. Have faith in God. I'm going to get through this thing. It seems impossible, but I'm going to beat the devil. I'm going to get over this thing. I'm an overcomer in Jesus' name. I'm a born overcomer. You cannot come around to my house and steal my identity, Mr. Devil. I am in authority right here in Jesus' name. And so you cannot afford to let worry get in the inside of you. God doesn't live inside worry. He lives inside faith. God lives in the positive mold. That's where God lives. He lives in the light. There is not one shadow of turning in Him. No darkness at all in God. He lives in the blaring, blazing sunlight. And you need to walk into that and start to think, I'm going to walk in the positive power of the Word of God. The melancholic mind can only see negatives in the Scripture. Even reads a good Scripture many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. The melancholic mind can't even read that like that. It says, oh, many are the afflictions of the righteous. People, many are the afflictions of the righteous. My sermon today is on the 10 afflictions of the righteous. Many, many, many. What are you doing preaching that? There's a second half to that verse. But the Lord delivers him out of them all in Jesus' name. Of course there are many afflictions, but what are you going to do about it? Be all melancholic and make people miserable and depressed? They already are depressed. We are meant to be good news on Sunday, people. We are meant to have good news blaring out from our pulpits all over the world so people can believe, rise up on the inside of their heart, have courage to face their life again and say, you know what? We can win in Jesus' name. Have faith in God. He's going to make it for you. Okay, number two. Now this is a more tricky one. Have faith in you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus says in John 15, without me you can do nothing, but with me nothing is impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't matter what problem you're facing right now, it's not bigger than the God on the inside of you. Your marriage might be in trouble. Your finances might be in trouble. Your teenagers might have gone crazy. But none of those problems are bigger than the God on the inside of you. He rose from the dead, and He can beat death. He can beat that situation and turn it around. You might be feeling a little discouraged, depressed, medically ill, or whatever. Jesus Christ is bigger than anything you are facing right now. Don't be giving your sickness majesty or glory or by talking about it all the time. Don't be giving the devil more power than he already has. Defeat him today by declaring, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in Jesus' mighty name. Have faith in you. You can do it. Don't be saying God's going to do it. A lot of times we're asking God to do stuff that He's asked us to do. You know, I got a whole message recently I preached about lift up your eyes. Like I think somebody said maybe it was a prayer or a prophecy earlier on. Lift up your eyes. And I thought, how many times is that in the Bible? It's everywhere. There's like 20 places it says lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes. Which would say that generally they are not. They are down. And then I thought, I wonder how many times in the Bible it says bow your head, close your eyes. As I've heard a million times. In religious services, you know how many times it's in the Bible? Zero. Not once. Bow your head and close your eyes. God is the glory and the lifter of my head. Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven. Lift up your eyes, Isaiah 60 says. Jesus says, lift up your eyes on the harvest field. They're ready. All of Napier and Hastings are ready right now. He was talking about just having one of the like most loose girls in town. Skirt was too short, top was too low, a little too much lipstick. I mean, this girl was racy. And he wanted her to heaven by revealing a dirty little secret in her life. Crazy. How do you do that and still keep people on side? Well, Jesus could do it. And she thinks he's marvelous because he's revealed everything about her. And she goes, wow, you're amazing, and tells all the men she knew a lot, and they all came out and believed her, and they had a revival that spread all the way into the book of Acts with the whole of Samaria coming to Christ. You've got to believe that you can do it. Lift up your eyes on yourself. Number three, have faith in others. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love believes. It believes in other people. It believes in your wife. It believes in your husband. It believes in your kids. It is astonishing what one drop of belief in a person will do for that soul. Absolutely astonishing. I can remember, it is so rare to hear it as a child that I know in my life, I can remember every single time it happened. It was about twice that I can remember anybody said anything remotely positive about me as a person. One was when I kicked a ball out onto the road, and my stepmom, my first mom died, and then I had a stepmom. She grabbed my hand because I was running out. She said, don't run out. You might get run over. We can always get another ball, but we can't get another you. I remember that because that made me feel a little bit valuable, more valuable than a ball. Woo! Amen. How incredible that fathers speak into their sons, you're a hopeless idiot. You're never going to do any good at all. You got to believe in them. Yeah, but you don't know them like I do. Doesn't matter. Faith in people about what they're going to be will actually transform them into becoming that person. Give people an image to live up to, not one to live down to. When you start believing in one another, you can do it. Everybody on my team, people say, you got an amazing team. We do, but you should have seen them before. They're amazing. I write them letters, say, you're awesome, you guys. You're doing an amazing job. Some of them have been come from hateful backgrounds. I've had girls who've been told by their father they got a face like the back of a bus. They sleep under their bed, not on top of it. They're so demoralized and ashamed. And I said, oh, you're so beautiful. They said, don't say that to me. This is not true. I said, of course it's true. What else are you? You're made in the image of my father. You're gorgeous. You're amazing. They go, oh, they start crying because words like that can heal. I've had people sit in our church. I had a woman come to me in our church a while back. She said, I can't come to your church anymore. I said, why? She says, I cry. I can't stop crying. I've been coming 6 months and I can't stop crying because you keep telling me that God loves me and that I'm okay. And it just hurts to hear good news sometimes. That's true. Some people can't believe because it just hurts too much. They've had too many disappointments. Those Israelites, once Moses got their hopes up, he said, look, God's going to get us out of this place. And they said, yeah, right. I mean, 400 years, that's longer than people have been in New Zealand, or people have been in Australia, or people have been in, it's longer than the countries have been called what they are today, So, I mean, that's a long time, 400 years. As slaves. And they said, no. Moses said, no, it's going to happen. They said, well, how do you know? What's the information? He said, oh, the bush talked to me. They said, what? No, the bush is on fire. And a voice came out talking. You know, that's kind of crazy when you hear that. What's even crazier is when you start talking back to the bush. And the bush says, I am. And then the bush says, okay. He says, I don't know what I'm meant to do. He says, oh, I'll give you a couple of tricks. Look, put your hand in there. Ah, it's leprous. Put it in again. Oh, it's healed. Okay. And so it goes down. He says, throw your stick down, wiggle your stick. Let's pick it up. Stick? Goodness. He says, yeah. So he says, okay, so elders, look, we're going to get out of this land. Here, I'll show you. See that? Amazing. And stick, and they'll go, whoa, okay, let's go. And so they go to the king of Egypt, and he says, there's no way I'm letting you guys go. I got people who can do that too. And so make twice as many bricks with half as many resources and whip them harder. So it got worse. When you start to get free, it gets worse at first. The grip tightens. Even when you go on this 21-day fast in March, on the first day, all you can think about is cheesecake, right from breakfast. Just when you start to do something different and positive, things try to hold you back. And so it says they could not hear him because of anguish of spirit when he went back with the good news. So some people, I understand, they find it hard to hear good news, but they just will eventually heal up through the love of God and start to grasp and let their hopes rise again. So this woman, I said, stick around. It'll stop soon. And it did, and she's good. Love believes in people. Believe in other people. Believe in your church. I have people ring me up and say, can you send me a youth leader? I said, no, I can't. Because if you can't believe in one to raise one up out of the clay that God has given you, then you're not going to be able to keep any of the guys that we send along. I mean, here's the thing that God doesn't give any of us a ready-made situation. None of us. He doesn't give you a pot. He gives you clay. He doesn't give you a tree. He gives you seed. So he wants you to participate and cooperate and bring it about miracles. And that always takes a step of faith and means we've got to get involved and actually do it as well. Man, I better get moving here. Okay, we're going to the first step of faith. Number one, desire it. Psalm 37, verse 4, he shall give you the desires of your heart. So now, You need to ask yourself what you want. Is it something that somebody else wants that you want? Or is it what you really like? And this is important. Jesus comes to Bartimaeus and says, what do you want? I mean, he could say, what do I want? Isn't it obvious what I want? But that was an open check. He didn't see how big the promise was because he was so preoccupied with his present problem. And so Jesus says, what do you want? It's important that we get that clear in our hearts. This is what I'm desiring. And sometimes we get a little bamboozled by the idea of what God wants and what we want. You know, I want the yellow one, but God will probably want me to have the blue one. He doesn't care. He honestly doesn't care. Have the yellow one. There it is. He's wearing it. I mean, and then, okay, so the second thing is you got to make a decision. I'm going to move pretty quick through these because there's seven of them. You got to make a decision, decide it. James 1, verse 6 to 7, let him ask in faith with no doubting. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If I got a double mind, I'm not going to receive anything from the Lord. I got to be single-minded about what I'm asking. So that's, again, where the will of God comes in. What do I want? What are you going to do? Well, Lord, my will is to do your will. If you will it, I will, and I will do all your will with all my will. And that's what I want. When you say, what do you want? That's what I want. I want to want what you want me to want. Because all I want is to want your wants, and your will is my will. I will to do your will. If you will that I do your will with all my want, then I want to do your will with all my want. That's what I will. How sincere is that? You know, but it's confusing. God says, oh, I didn't get that. You know, like, it's not a trick question. What do you want? What are you going to do? The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. There comes a time when there's just too much static in the atmosphere to even discern what God's voice is. And you just need to make decisions. And not second guess yourself. Oh, was that the right thing to do? Oh, was that? The devil loves to do that, to make you second guess your decisions. Let not that man think that he's ever going to receive anything from the Lord. So I've found myself as a young Christian very undecided because of that very thing I'm talking about there, wondering what's the will of God? Oh, maybe I didn't do the will of God. Marriage, was she the right one? Oh, these kids, were we meant to have them, you know? I mean, it just gets crazy. You got young adults these days thinking, oh, is this the one? There is not the one. Imagine if you married the wrong one. Well, then that one is not going to marry the one that they were meant to marry because they married you the wrong one. And then that one is not going to marry that one the right one. The whole cosmic universe of relationships has been destroyed because you married the wrong one. Ruination. You can't. It's a mystery. There's like a million right ones out there. The principles will make it work. Wonderful Jesus. Amen. Kind of liberating, isn't it, to know the truth? Truth makes you free. But some people freak out when they get free because they're, oh, I'd rather have somebody else make all my mind up for me. That's not how God wants it to be. You got a sound mind, make good decisions. Go ahead. Amen. God's with you. And when I was a young Christian, I'd pray about whether I am going to, you know, get on a plane and go here, go there. I don't even think about that sort of thing these days. Don't even think about even hardly where we're going to plant churches. Just follow the steps that God is guiding you with. Sometimes you get very clear guidance, sometimes not. But he needs to know that he's got decisive people because that's who he moves through. Number three, ask it. You do not have because you do not ask. Now, this is really important because Jesus... He explains this asking thing, and some people think you got to ask once and then it's done. I want everybody to stand up here tonight as we come to a close. If you're saying, I want that spirit of faith on the inside of me, would you just walk down to the front here and stand before God? I'm going to pray for you to have a spirit of faith come on the inside of your life. It didn't happen, and you were disappointed and nearly died of discouragement, but you got up again and asked again. That's faith. and you didn't get it that time, you got knocked down, but you got up again and you asked again, that's faith. You got knocked down again and you got up again, that's faith, that you keep coming back. Jesus gives an example of a guy at midnight who needs a loaf of bread, banging on the door. He also gives the example of a widow woman and an unjust judge. And she's got a dispute with her brother-in-law about some land. And the brother-in-law says, it's my land, but she's a widow. Her husband died, and it was their land, but the brother wants to claim it. And she said, no, I got two boys. How can you make that happen? I gotta look after my land and my house and everything else. And so they're, bring the matter to the judge. But the brother-in-law slips the judge $1,000 and says, look, just rule in my favor. Just says, okay. And so the little lady comes in, doors open, down she comes, says, judge, this man thinks that their land is his because it's his brother-in-law, it's my brother-in-law's and his brother, but it's my land. We bought it and it's been left in my inheritance and it should be mine. The judge goes, looks like he's, pretends that he's making a judgment. Bang, I award it in favor of the brother-in-law. She goes, you can't do that. That's my block of land. That's my two children. Where are we going to live? He's a cruel, evil man. You got to give me that land. He says, woman, I made a judgment. He says, I don't care what judgment you made. This land is my land. You got to turn reverse that judgment. And she says, carry her out of here. So they pick her up, carry her up. Boom, she's gone. Next morning, Tuesday morning. First case, bong, doors open. Down she comes. Judge, I'm back. I'm going to get that land. That land belongs to me. You have got to reverse your decision. I am not going to reverse my decision. I've already given it up. Judge, you got to reverse that decision because that land is mine. I want my land back. You got to give it. That's not going to change my mind. Get her out of here. You really pick her up and she's carrying her out. Oh, arms and legs go bang out through the door. He's a little shaky. He's okay. On the way home, he gave up 20 years ago, but he picks up a pack and just to calm himself. Comes back the next day, Wednesday morning. First case, boom. He says, what are you doing here? I'm here to get that land. You got to give me that land. I will refuse to let you go till you give me that land. I am not going to change my mind, woman. Get out of my courtroom. I am not going until you give me my land. Yeah, I told you, get out of my courtroom. Pick her up, carry her out. They carry her out, arms, legs, screaming everywhere. And he's really shaking now. He thinks, I think I'll go taken early. He goes home. On the way home, he picks up a bottle of gin. Looks like water. They won't know the difference. And he doesn't sleep a lot that night. Every time he goes to sleep, he drifts off. This woman is running at him. He arrives at court a little late next morning. Forgot to shave. He looks a little dark. Whoops, got my pajamas on. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. He's 2 hours late. First case. Doom. Woman, what are you doing here? I want my block of land. You got to reverse your decision. I will not leave you until you turn that decision around. You've got to give me what I'm after. He starts having a breakdown. He reaches down for his gin. He says, are you never going to stop coming here? And she says, I am never going to stop coming here. You need to know that I am determined to get you to change. He says, oh, please, please go away. All right, I reverse the decision. Give the woman her land back. Get out of my courtroom. That's the picture Jesus gave of the widow and the unjust judge, lest by her constant coming, she wear me out. How do you ask? You keep on asking. Delay is not denial. Number four, receive it. Mark 11, verse 24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. When do you get them? When you pray, not when you get them. You don't get them when you get them. You get them when you pray. If you get them when you pray, which is before you get them, then you're going to get them eventually. Okay, so here's the thing. You got to get it. That's the substance on the inside. I've had like houses inside of me. I have thousands of people on altar calls right now. I got all sorts of things. None of your business. And even on Sunday night while I was standing on our platform in church, I just preached in the city campus. I arrived halfway through the service, went straight up on the pulpit, started preaching, and I saw something in the future, and it's in my spirit. Boom. You got to believe what you see. Then it comes to pass. I'm not talking about imaginations or just things that you really, really want and desire. I'm saying you see a reality, a future reality. This is so important. Look, like a few years ago, we went to the medical center with my daughter because she was having her second child. And so they put the jelly on her belly, you know, for the ultrasound. And then they go like this. You look up on the screen, and there's this little baby up there, like on the screen, in the thing. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And you go, wow, look at that. Here's the thing. If I came to you right now and put the jelly on your spirit, and I took the ultrasound thing, what would come up on the screen? What would you see? What do you got inside of you right now? You got churches inside you, got a future healing, got blessing. God has given you gifts on the inside of you that you've got to take a hold of and employ and intentionalize in your life. Do not be sitting around waiting for God to do stuff that He's told you to do. It's not going to happen. You'll die wondering. Let your spirit get up and get out of its butt factor and say, you know, because people have a lot of butts in their life. Way too much butt. Yeah, but. Yeah, you don't know my situation. Yeah, but. Come on. Come on. You got to get out of that. Have a buttectomy. God's got a butt. Amen. If I can say it reverently, He's but God. You crucified Him, but God raised Him from the dead. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. All through Scripture, but God. That's the but you need. And when you get that in your life, walk around with a God factor. But God's going to get it happening in my world. Number 5, see it. I got 8 minutes to go, 3 points to go. Amen. This is good. See it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Seeing something that you cannot see. Seeing things that other people cannot see. Oh, I got to tell you, people, lift up your eyes. Like when we started our church in Sydney, in DY, we had a hall that was about half the size of this hall. Would take, I guess, maybe 800 people at a squish, really squashing them in. Then we chopped a piece of it up to start our Bible college, so it only took around about 500 people, but we would squash them in there. I would go down there some weekends on a Saturday afternoon, and I'd stand on the pulpit and I'd start preaching to nobody. There was nobody there. This is when we had maybe 200 people in the church. I'd preaching half a sermon, just a few bits and pieces of a sermon. Then I'd have an altar call, and all these people would come down the front. I'd shake their hands and say, hey, it's so nice to see you. I'd have 4 services with nobody. I could see them. See them all in there. Within 4 years, we were having 4 services a Sunday. We were packed out. We had bought another piece of land because we needed to build a bigger building. That building took 8 years to get approval from the council. We had all kinds of opposition. We were turned down twice, public, national news, 6 o'clock. News. We were very highly scrutinized, high profile. It was very embarrassing. I was wearing sunglasses to the supermarket. Everything was, my kids were getting bullied at school. It was just not a great time. So, but I would go down to that land where the weeds were as tall as this ceiling. And I'd stand where I figured the pulpit was going to be, and I'd start preaching to the weeds, preaching to that congregation. Today I stand nearly every weekend in that exact spot, preaching to a crowd of people who come down and receive Christ, who are worshiping God. I saw it before I saw it. You got to get it before you get it. Where are you inside your vision about your future? You got to see things, and faith will take you there and connect you with the power of Christ so that you'll actually bring it to pass. Say it. Mark 11, verse 23 to 24. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, and believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. This is so important. And it's not just who says to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. It's not just talking to your problem, which you should do. Instead of talking about your problem, speak to the problem. And speak to your world. If you've got a building that won't sell, say, building, you're going to sell. If you need a building that you're going to buy, building, we're going to buy you. Financial account, you're going to fill up. It may seem strange that you're talking to things, but people do it in the negative all the time. They'll kick their motor mower and say, you stupid idiot thing. It's not going. They talk to things all the time. Why didn't you speak? You blessed thing. You're going to work for me in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's not just your staff. You can do that to the mower too. And you know, like, speak to your world. This is going to work. This is going to be fantastic. Refuse to have people around. I cannot afford, financially, I cannot afford to have anybody who says it can't be done. Nothing's going to work. You haven't got the money. I can't afford to hear that because I'm so committed with millions and millions of dollars to support people, to look after things. If I start believing that just for a second, I can't go there. My God has got a huge abundance and will supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I have to make a decision to guard my heart, guard my mind, and keep myself in faith because that's where God lives and that's where the power of God is going to move. That's part of being a holy person, being separated from the negativity of this world. Don't let it crush you into its mold of complaining and moaning and whining and groaning, you know? Stay alive. Anthony Robbins says, awaken the champion within. Phil Pringle says, slap the weasel within. If you hear that nasal whine, you know, when your kids, oh, when they get that nasal twang. You know how the Bible says God meets with him who rejoices? In Isaiah 64:5, I know you knew that, but it's God meets with him who rejoices. But how about when your kids, you know, they're good, they're beautiful until they're two. And then they get, I know one thing, amen. Eat your broccoli. I know one thing, my broccoli. I don't want to. I want ice cream. I want ice cream. I don't want to. I don't want my brother. He's not gonna. They're whining, right? You don't know what to do. You're walking down the supermarket. You got this thing grabbing your dress. It's got fluid coming out of every hole in its head. I don't want to go. I want to go. I want to go. What are you going to do? Like, okay, so you're Assembly of God people. You're intelligent. You know what to do. You have another one. Amen. So now you got two of them. You got two of these things, right? Sitting in the car, in the back seat. And don't look out my window. This is my window. Yeah, pulling my hair. Stop pulling my hair. I'm punching my hair. What are you going to do? Have another one. Three of these things, and what are you, insane? Okay, here's God at the front of the car, driving. 7 billion people in the back seat. I don't like you. I'm going to shoot you. I'm pulling my hand. I only have my one in my territory. It's no wonder he says, I will meet with him who rejoices. I will meet with a positive person. I will turn up at any crowd who are prepared to get a little happy and positive about life. That's where God lives. You got to speak in your world, rejoicing and thanksgiving and not complaining. My last point is act it. James 2 verse 26. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. We can think of all these things that we've done here, but if we do not do something, then we're dead. Luke chapter 5, and this is a really important passage that we finish with. If I've said anything tonight, that this is really important. You've got to launch out and do something. Go away from this conference and start a new service. Go into a high school and start an alpha group. Do anything. Just launch out. Jesus says to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Peter goes, oh, Lord, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing. How many pastors have I talked to who have said that to me? I've worked hard all night, through the cold, through the dark, alone, and I come up with nothing. Zip. In the light of that, Jesus says, go on, step out. Start a new service. Go across town in another suburb, rent a hall. Go and start something at the high school. Whatever. You know, and he says, nevertheless. He's got that nevertheless. Nevertheless would work. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So I can tell that if he's going to let down a net, he's kind of grumpy because Jesus told, let down nets. So he's going out on his own. There's about 200 fishermen on the shore all looking at him. Where are you going, Peter? He says, oh, I don't know. I want to go home. I want to have bacon and eggs, which is pretty liberated for a Jewish person. And so he's rowing. He's going like, he's mumbling. Follow Jesus. What a stupid idea that was. Fishing. As if there's any fish. There's no fish out here. No fish. You're the carpenter. I'm the fisherman. What are you thinking of? Follow Jesus. Leave all. Go and do whatever he tells me to do. He won't know this is the shallows. I'll just let it out here. I said the deep, Peter. How do you know that was the deep? You want deep? I'll give you deep. All right, deep, deep. You watch this, baby. We're going deep out here. He's in the middle of the lake. Is this deep enough? Throws out the net. See, there are no fish yet. He looks down, and there's a whole school of barracuda in the fish. Then some snapper are flying in here. And then in comes a couple of porpoises. This is a great white orca whale. Then a flock of geese fly in from the side. There are crabs, there's everything getting in the net. He's standing on the front of the boat around the lake. Hi, guys. You know, it's like he's skiing or something. He finally crunches up on the shore, falls at Jesus' feet and says, I didn't believe that could happen. Forgive me for being such a doubter. I didn't know New Zealand could be saved. I didn't believe that if I just stepped out, I could win a high school to Christ. Jesus says, Peter, you need to understand something. This is not about catching fish. This is about catching people. Fear not, from henceforth you will catch men. I did this to you to tell you that when you haven't been catching people and your nets have been empty and all you've been doing is cleaning up the net, mending the net, cleaning up the net, mending the net, sitting on the shore, there comes a point where you've actually got to pick up your nets and go out and do some fishing and let them down and anticipate that something amazing is going to happen. Hi friends, I wanted to take a moment to invite you to our annual conference called Presence here in Sydney, Australia. We would love to see you there from the 14th to the 17th of April. It's 4 nights and 3 days. Starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There's a program for children, for teenagers, and for whole families. As we come together from all over the world and all over Australia, and we start to worship God together, it is an amazing experience where the great power of the Holy Spirit is able to infiltrate and penetrate that meeting and bring Christ into reality for all those who are present.
We see such a move of the Holy Spirit where people are healed, set free, encountering God, and hearing from the Lord. It is one of those moments in our year where we need to schedule time so that we can actually be spiritually renewed and revived. So I'm praying for you that as you consider coming, you'll find God will provide for you, and He'll give you the time and the motivation and the energy to be there and to be part of this incredible conference in April this year.
Thanks for listening. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions that you have made and the great things that God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.